Open your Bibles this morning to the book of Romans, if you will, chapter 10. Romans chapter 10, we're going to speak about heart problems. So look in our text for the word heart and hearken to it whenever you see the word heart. I would like to begin reading in, about verse 5. Once you get started reading in this 10th chapter of Romans, it's hard to stop, isn't it, Brother Art? Yes. Verse 5 says, "For Moses describes the righteousness which is of the law." Now, this is the kind of righteousness that you get when you keep the law of God, okay? "That the man which doeth these things shall live by them." But there's another righteousness, and this is the righteousness which is of faith. Not by the law, but of faith. This is the one we're interested in. Because, well, I don't know about you, but I haven't kept all of God's law. I've slipped up and, you know, come short on a few items down through the years. And the bad thing about it is there are no reverse years in life. I can't go back and undo what I've done wrong. So my righteousness, insofar as the law is concerned, it's kaput, it's gone. But thank God there's another righteousness, and that's the righteousness which is of faith. Speaketh in this faith speaks. Listen to what it says. "Speaketh on this wise, say not in thine heart, who shall ascend into heaven, that is, to bring Christ down from above? Or who shall descend into the deep, that is, to bring up Christ again from the dead?" But what saith it? What does this righteousness, which is of faith, say? Here's what it says. "The word is nigh thee, even in thy mouth and in thy heart." That is the word of faith which we preach. "That if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, and shalt believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. For with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. For the scripture saith, whosoever believeth on him shall not be ashamed. For there is no difference between the Jew and the Greek. For the same Lord over all is rich unto all that call upon him. For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved." Now let's couple this, if we may, with a statement made by Paul in 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verses 3 and 4, where he defines for us what the gospel of Christ is. Here it is. "Christ died for our sins according to the scriptures. He was buried, and he rose again the third day according to the scriptures." Now that, my friends, is the gospel of Christ. It's quite simple. And a person's salvation is based on his belief and acceptance of this gospel. It's difficult to imagine, but consider that countless millions of people around the world over the years of time have been killed as martyrs simply because they believed that Jesus died on the cross for our sins, that he was buried, and that he rose again from the dead the third day. Can you imagine that? People kill you for what you believe. Even today, there are many countries, and we could name a bunch of them if we wanted to, but we'll save that for some other time. Many parts of the world, thousands of people are presently in prison. They are being tortured physically and killed for believing this simple gospel of Christ. I'm not digressing, but let me give you an illustration. I want to tell you about Valentine's Day, okay? Some people know, others don't, that it's St. Valentine's Day. St. Valentine's Day. It was named after a young pastor who was named Valentinus. He lived way back yonder during the reign of a Roman emperor by the name of Claudius II. Now, at the time that Valentinus lived and preached, the citizens of the Roman Empire had been ordered by their emperor to worship the 12 pagan gods of Rome. We studied Wednesday night about Daniel praying. And because he was praying unto the Lord, he got thrown in the lion's den. Shortly before that, we studied about the three Hebrew children who refused to bow down and worship Nebuchadnezzar's image. They were thrown into the burning fiery furnace. But we've got people today that are in prison because they believe in Jesus Christ. Well, back in that day, this is hundreds of years ago, it was a crime punishable by death for the subjects of the Roman Empire to associate with those people called Christians. You don't have anything to do with them. That's what they said. It was the law. Now, this guy Valentinus was so dedicated to Christ that not even the threat of death could stop him from serving the Lord. What'd they do to him? They arrested him and they threw him into prison. By the way, while he was in prison, he won 46 of his jailers to faith in Christ. See? One of his jailers had a blind daughter by the name of Julia. He knew that Valentinus was a very educated man, and he brought his blind daughter to Valentinus so that he could teach her. And he did. He didn't have anything else to do. He was languishing in prison. So he taught her about the history of Rome. He taught her mathematics. And he also taught her about Jesus. And he won her to the Lord. And the saying goes, and this is probably one of the reasons why they made him a saint later on, was that after she accepted Christ as her personal Savior, she received her sight. Amazing, but God does amazing things, doesn't he? The night before his death, Valentinus wrote a note to his student Julia. And in that note, he urged her to remain faithful to Christ. And he signed the letter, "From your Valentine." Now the next morning, he was killed. They were very gentle with him. They simply beat him to death with clubs and then cut his head off for good measure. That was on February the 14th, 270 A.D. He was buried in Rome. And later on, a couple of hundred years later, there was a pope by the name of Gelasius who made him a saint. So it's Saint Valentine's Day. It is said that Julia planted an almond tree that bore pink blossoms near his grave. That's why pink has become the color that's associated with Valentine's Day. And each year on February the 14th, the day of his execution, messages of love and devotion and affection are exchanged all around the world. Now, this is from Hallmark cards, Catholic Online Network, and the Encyclopedia Britannica. That's my authority for this story. But anyway, the point is that the gospel of Jesus Christ has affected the lives of countless millions of people across the centuries of time, because it's very easy to understand. It isn't difficult at all. Millions of people, millions of them, have become Christians through the power of the gospel of Jesus Christ. Let's find out why. What is the magical power in the gospel that converts the soul? You ought to know, because probably 99 and 99 one-hundredths of you here today are Christians. You've experienced that. But one of the reasons is because the gospel is simple. I want you to think again of Paul's definition of it that he gave. Christ died for our sins, according to the scriptures. He was buried. Remember it? Joseph and Nicodemus took his body down from the cross and wrapped it in burial clothes and placed it in Joseph's new tomb. He was buried. And then when they went there the morning of the third day, they found the tomb was empty, and the angel of the Lord rolled the stone away, said, "He is not here. He is risen." He rose from the dead the third day. That's it. That's not complex at all. It's simple. Christ died on the cross to pay the penalty for our sins. His dead body was buried in Joseph's tomb. And on the third day, he rose physically from the grave. He showed himself alive by many infallible proofs for 40 days before he ascended back to heaven from Mount Olivet. Now that's simple. It's just a matter of accepting that and believing it and trusting it. You shouldn't have to hear that over and over again to understand it. You can understand it the first time that you hear it. Even a child can understand it. The gospel is simple. And the way to be saved is simple. There's nothing hard or complex about how to get saved. It isn't confusing at all. You just believe, and God does the saving. The way to be saved is given many, many times in the scriptures. Nearly everybody knows John 3:16. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. That's easy to understand. Our part is believing. God's part is saving. There's another one over at Acts chapter 16, verse 31. Very simple. Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved. I can't think of a simpler way to put it. There's a beautiful story that goes along with that. back on the night of April the 14th, 1912. April the 14th, 1912. There was a great unsinkable ship that was called the Titanic. And it was sailing on its maiden voyage across the North Atlantic, carrying 2,223 people aboard. It was trying to set a speed record. And there's a big iceberg out there. And this giant ship, Titanic, blew its whistle, toot, toot, toot. That means get out of my way. But iceberg didn't move. Titanic said, I'll show you. Boom! Crashed into that giant iceberg and sank. And 1,517 lives were lost when that ship went down. There were only 706 people who survived it. Now that's a true story. And here's the rest of the story. Out here in that cold, icy water, 28 degrees, there was a Christian man who was holding on to a board in those cold, frigid, stormy waters. And he saw another man off over here in the distance, and he shouted to him, and he said, do you know how to be saved? And that man shouted back to him and he said, no. And the Christian said, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and thou shalt be saved. That unknown Christian died beneath those cold waters in the ocean. The other man was rescued. And he lived for many years after that. And 50 years later, he was still giving his testimony on how he got saved in the dark, freezing waters in the midst of those billowing waves by simply obeying this Christian's witness, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and thou shalt be saved. That's the power of the Word of God. So clear, so plain, so simple. Seems anyone could understand. But multitudes of people still don't get it. Multitudes of people are still lost. Why is that? That's my next point. The gospel is simple. The way to be saved is simple. But the human heart is not simple. The facts of the gospel and the need of believing in Christ is known by nearly everyone. And yet, there are few that are saved according to Jesus. Now, the words of the gospel and the plan of salvation often fall on deaf ears. And it doesn't help the people who hear it. Why? Because the human heart is sinful and perverted. The gospel is simple, but the heart of man is not simple. It's hard. It's depraved. Listen to what Jesus, the Son of God, said about the human heart. This is in Mark chapter 7. Jesus says, from within, out of the heart of man, proceeds evil thoughts, adulteries, fornications, murders, thefts, covetousness, wickedness, deceit, lasciviousness, an evil eye, blasphemy, pride, foolishness. All these evil things come from within and defile the man. And that's a pretty big list of things, isn't it? I can't think of a thing he left out. To make it simple, something is terribly wrong with the human heart. I was surprised to find out that the doctrine of the depravity of man is not found in Judaism. That's the Jews' religion. I thought surely they believed their own Bible. But the concept of a sinful human heart that is ruined and corrupt and depraved by the fall of man is not taught and believed by the Jews. Amazing. That was a revelation to me. Because let me give you some of their scriptures. In Ecclesiastes chapter 9, verse 3, the heart of the sons of men is full of evil, and madness is in their heart while they live. That's about the same thing Jesus said, isn't it? Proverbs 28, verse 26. He that trusteth in his own heart is a fool. So don't follow your heart. Why? Because it's full of evil and madness. You would certainly be a fool if you trusted something that was filled with wickedness and insanity, wouldn't you? Psalm 53, verse 1. The fool hath said in his heart, there is no God. You see, the evil and madness of your corrupt heart makes you think at times that there is no God. He that trusteth in his own heart is a fool. Jeremiah 17, verse 9. The heart is deceitful above all things and desperately wicked. Somebody comes along and says, follow your heart. Hey, better look out. It'll deceive you. It'll lead you astray into the ways of wickedness and sin and evil. And that'll bring you down to your own destruction. How about Jeremiah 16, verse 12? You've done worse than your fathers, for behold, you walk everyone after the imagination of his evil heart. See, God's left out of the life. Let's go one further back. Back before the flood. In Genesis chapter 6, verse 5 says, and God saw that the wickedness of man was great in the earth. What else did he see? And that every imagination of the thoughts of his heart was only evil continually. That's back before the flood. And it's had thousands of years to get worse and worse. Mankind has inherited a ruined, depraved nature and a twisted, sinful, evil heart. We inherited it from our first relatives who rebelled against God. Now, Over in Acts chapter 2, that tells us about the coming of the Holy Spirit on the day of Pentecost and about Peter's sermon that he preached that day. And Peter preached a wonderful sermon recorded there in Acts chapter 2 on the day of Pentecost. And here in verse 27 is the effect that his preaching had on those people. Listen. Now when they heard this, that is what he had preached, they were pricked in their heart and said, "Men and brethren, what shall we do? What shall we do?" You see, at his preaching, the Holy Ghost, the Holy Spirit of God, had pricked their heart. And it was not until their hearts were pricked by the Holy Spirit that they were converted to Jesus Christ. Like the psalmist had said in Psalm 116, verses 3 and 4, "Then called I upon the name of the Lord. O Lord, I beseech thee, deliver my soul." You see, they called, and God delivered. And we close with the same verse where we started in Romans 10:9, that if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, and shalt believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. Don't ever let anybody complicate it with anything else. That is the gospel. That's what gets you into the gates of heaven. Let's stand together, please, with our heads bowed in prayer. Heavenly Father, we thank you this morning for the simplicity of the gospel. We thank you that it's so easy for us to understand once the Holy Spirit opens our hearts and takes the blinders off of our eyes, and we can see that Christ loved us and he gave himself for us on the cross. He died for our sins. He took our place. He died for us. He was buried and he rose from the dead the third day, and he says, "Because I live, you shall live also." If there's one in this congregation, even one in this crowd today, that does not know the Lord Jesus Christ as their personal Savior and has never accepted him, I pray that today will be the day when they will say, "I believe. I believe. I'll trust in Jesus. I'll put my confidence in what God says. I'll trust him. And he'll do the saving." And Lord, we'll give you the praise in Jesus' name. Amen.